sports fans.
With NASCAR, Formula One, Grand Am, and the Indy Racing League.
We need to be close in the next couple of laps.
You're listening to Race Hour.
This past weekend, big in auto racing. F1, of course, making its return in Australia. Very eventful race, even after the race. A lot of stuff going on with that. A lot of people talking about it. NASCAR in Martinsville, a lot of people happy about that race. Good short track racing, just good stuff. I liked it. We're going to talk about that in the next hour plus. What's coming up this weekend? American Le Mans. IndyCar's back, both of those in St. Petersburg. F1, a treat from them again in Malaysia. NASCAR is in Texas, and I think the regular Le Mans series is in Barcelona. We don't get that on TV here in the U.S., but around the world, just a busy weekend, a lot of racing in all of the best divisions. Starting with F1, though, that was the most eventful thing. A lot of things going on as far as controversy or drama, if you want to use those words. McLaren fans may be angry, maybe taken aback. I am a McLaren fan, happy to say it. And I 100% agree with what's happened. And let me explain that for anybody who doesn't know or hasn't been following it or whatever. The end of Australia, of course, the race finished under safety car, which is a caution pretty much. And that was how it finished. So that matters, of course, because where they do what happens in that safety car under it or whatever is how they finish the race. That's the final standings. That's who gets the points, etc. And what happens, Yano Trulli in the Toyota is third place. Lewis Hamilton is in fourth. At some point under the safety car situation, Yano runs off track, has some kind of problem that's obvious. Lewis Hamilton overtakes him, it goes by him, and I guess takes third. At that point, Yano Trulli, when he gets to his wits about him, he's ready to go, passes Lewis Hamilton to retake third place. And the stewards after the race rule this as Yano Trulli passing under safety car. Can't do that. Penalized. He loses his third place, loses those points, everything. It never happened. 0 points, dead last, or I think 25-second penalty. And he got, Yano did get to celebrate in the ceremonies. He got on the podium, which is good now. He got all that stuff, but after the race, stewards take it all away. Lewis is bumped up to third. Lewis gets good points. Great, solid finish. Well, here in the last couple of days, in Malaysia, the FIA taking a look at this, they have decided that they were misled by McLaren Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton, and they were not given team audio, team radio, that was crucial to pretty much making this fair and setting it straight. They were not. This was held back by McLaren Mercedes. I'm not clear on whether they just forgot to give it to them, or if that could even happen, or if they intentionally we're trying to make this look like, yeah, he did pass this under safety car. Yeah, penalize him. That cheater. And so because of that, Yano Trulli gets back his third place. Fair. Gets back his points, all that. I agree with that. McLaren, Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton, pretty much pulled out of the race. Disqualified. All they lose the points, all of that. And sucky weekend for them. Heike finished last as well. He wrecked. First person out of the race. Is Heikki Kovalainen. An awful weekend for McLaren and Ferrari. Both, I mean, sucky for the two kind of leaders of F1 last year and historically. Yeah, just a bad weekend. At the end, I agree with all of it. I agree with the FIA penalizing Lewis, taking him out of the third place, taking all the points away. And I'm an open McLaren fan. Now, why would I say that? Oh, shouldn't I just be saying FIA bias? They love Ferrari. Anything in red, they'll love that. They're just doing this because McLaren is not Ferrari. I've seen some McLaren fans saying that to other McLaren fans, hey, this let's get over this whole Ferrari conspiracy. This has nothing to do with that. This was fair and just. Yano truly deserved that third place. Toyota and truly, they deserved all of that. I'm glad they got to celebrate on the podium. It's all fair. It's all going to end fair, pretty much. For a few days, maybe Hamilton, McLaren, and all of us fans of it could feel legit. You know, hey, Lewis legitimately earned that third place, and he did. He should be in fourth place. I'm going to keep that in my head. But I still agree with the penalty, and I understand the penalty. But he did do a fourth-place run. He did earn a fourth-place run in Australia at the end, no matter what happened. So I feel good about that. I'm not going to let them take that away from me. They can never take that away from us. Like Lewis said, he'll never give up. I won't either. He finished fourth as far as performance, and that's hopeful. And I'm going to give him credit for that. He deserves credit for that, but the penalty. And here's what happened. We have the audio, and I'm going to play that, and it's going to set it straight for anybody with common sense. I don't know why they held this back, but we have the audio of the end of that race. I'm going to play it. And to set it up a little, it's Lewis talking to the McLaren guys about what he's going to do or what to do. They're looking to get some kind of confirmation as far as whether they can let Yarno buy. And Yarno said when he lost his third place, I don't quite agree with this. What was I supposed to do? I came up on Lewis. He was practically pulled off, pretty much letting me by. So I overtook. What was I supposed to do? And what was he supposed to do? Apparently this audio, which you're about to hear, explains it all. Lewis is explaining how I'm gonna let him by. He's gonna let Truly by, but find out if I can overtake him again. Find out if I have to let him by, but I'm going to let him by. That's pretty much what happens. And they conveniently left this out that explained, yes, he was letting Yano by. So Yano said, I think he was letting me by, so I went by. And apparently by holding this back, this audio back, it makes it look like, and McLaren took nothing onto themselves to help out or say, yes, this is what happened, and here's our proof. Live at during the race, this is our driver saying, I'm going to let him by. To, I guess, make it look like Yano truly unfairly passed. What a cheater. He cheated under safety car. The nerve of that guy. I'm not saying that is what happened. Who of us know? Few people know actually what the situation is. Whether it was, you know, malicious or just a mistake they forgot. I don't know. But in the end, it all is fair to me. Anyway, this is the audio. Genuine. You'll hear it. Obviously, it is real. It's not fake. I don't know how much it's circulated, so hopefully you're hearing it on this show for the first time. I'm sure it'll be big, though. But this is the safety car, end of the race, Australian Grand Prix, the audio that was apparently withheld to mislead the stewards at the direct hearing after the race.
Okay, Lewis, you just need to make sure your delta's positive over the safety car line. After the safety car line, the delta doesn't matter, but no overtaking, no overtaking. Understood, Lewis. We'll confirm and get back to you.
He was off the track. He went wide.
Lewis, you need to allow the Toyota through. Allow the Toyota through now.
Okay. Load right down in front of me.
Okay, Lewis, stay ahead for the time being. Stay ahead. We'll get back to you. We're talking to Charlie.
I've let it pass already.
Okay, Lewis, that's fine. That's fine. Hold position. Hold position.
That's
fine. I understand, Lewis. We are checking. Now can we go to yellow G5, please? Yellow Golf 5.
If I don't have to let him pass, then I should be able to take that position back if he made a mistake.
Yeah, we understand, Lewis. Let's just do it by the book. We're asking Charlie now. You're in P4 if you hold this position. Just keep it together.
Okay, Lewis, your KERS is full. Your KERS is full. Just be aware. You can go back to black F2, black Foxtrot 2.
We're still waiting on a response, Lewis. Still waiting. Lewis, work on your brakes, please. Work on your brakes. Front brakes are cold. Lewis, if we are able to use deploy KERS, that would be good. If you can deploy KERS, please do so now.
Okay, Lewis, this is the last lap of the race.
And it's pretty straightforward as far as, Lewis did let him pass. And the pit guys seem kind of flip-floppy as far as saying, let him pass, or don't let him pass, or whatever. I mean, they go kind of back and forth there very quickly, which, of course, that is drawn out a little more. I cut it together so you didn't have to hear silence, but that is all of the audio. Some of it, a little longer pauses in between, but it really doesn't screw the context up at all. You know, where the McLaren guys telling Lewis this, checking with Charlie, and not either not checking with him, or were they checking with him and saying, you know, leaving out some of this, like saying he's about to pass us and he messed up or something like this. Either way, the point of the penalty, to make that clear, for us to understand that, the point of the penalty against Lewis Hamilton was the misleading, leaving this audio that we just heard out. They should have included that, because apparently that would have just made it okay. Apparently, if that had all been fine, all had been fair, nothing left out or no misleading of anything, then Lewis would have a P4 position, and that would be an excellent start to the season compared to people like Ferrari getting 0 points. Heike had a bad day, awful day, and it would be a great save of P4. I can't commit to saying I think that they were being malicious or I think they made a mistake. I can't understand or explain how a mistake would be made. So I don't know. I'm going to look at other people's opinions and see what other people are thinking now. I want to hear what you have to say. Email talk@racehourradio.com, or you can tweet me at twitter.com/racehour. Or you can get on the website, racehourradio.com. We've got all of our social networking. So tell me what you think about this. Because I think it's fine. I think it's okay. I understand it. And I'm not going to be all up in arms like Spa in 2008. So I don't know. Let's see what other people are saying about this. Leap H online is saying, if Hamilton didn't slow down, why are McLaren not appealing? It is a completely unfair penalty. Seriously, why do we bother watching the races when the results can be spontaneously changed 3 weeks later? That's what he says, so he doesn't agree with it quite so much. Here's a McLaren fan talking about this, not agreeing with the rule. Ruling. Surprise. It's Mattman2404 says, this ruling is utterly disgusting. I'm not saying this from the view of a McLaren fan, which I am. So yes, you are saying it from the view of a McLaren fan. It would be disgusting to me regardless of who it was. Yeah, would it? The FIA are out of their minds. They gave Trulli a penalty. Toyota didn't appeal. It seems to be over. But then the FIA announced 4 days after the race that McLaren are excluded from the Australian Grand Prix and may even be excluded from the championship. And why? There was no deliberate. Misleading, or at least it doesn't seem that way. Oh yeah, throw that in there in case you seem wrong by maybe this team audio that came out. And I'm a McLaren fan, people, keep in mind, and listen to me. Although I hear that F1 is, this is not him, this is me. I hear that F1 is gonna possibly do more. Now I don't agree with, I think we've seen quite enough. Pull them out of all the points from Australia, that's fine. They do anything else, then I'm gonna start disagreeing with you know, from that point on. Anyway. This guy goes on to say, or at least it doesn't seem that way here, but the FIA plow on regardless. He says, how come there's no evidence? The rest of it's about Spa. This guy's not happy at all. This is one unhappy McLaren fan. You get the point. He thinks it's disgusting, no matter who it would happen to. And the Toyota wasn't appealing. They were keeping their mouths shut, I guess. And that should have been it, which seems kind of unfair to me, but whatever. Maybe you disagree with me, and I'm open to being shown why this is not fair. Believe me, McLaren fan, Lewis Hamilton fan that I am, I would love to say, be all indignant about it, but, it makes sense to me. And maybe this audio that I have is breaking, because I know it's not everywhere. Maybe that was the missing link. We hear that, and it makes sense. It makes sense to me. Maybe you need to hear this show, or maybe it makes sense. I don't know. But those are some thoughts about it. I didn't really see a whole lot more. Here's a good one that's against it, I believe. Mike_Smith_Dude says, oh, guys, I know you are all McLaren fans, but you have to admit, they cheated in 2007. Probability states that they were going to try and sneak something in once again. Imagine how many things they got away with last year that nobody knows about. I'm not a Massa fan, but I'm sure that if the truth came out, Mazda would have been champion. Well, that's hypothetical. Let's not go there. But, yes, they've cheated before. So, I don't know. This is not quite a spy situation, I think, but what were the McLaren bosses doing when they were talking to this Charlie guy, talking about, you know, getting some kind of confirmation? Were they telling him something different? You know, thinking quick on their feet, and it just didn't benefit? I don't know. I want to give them more credit, you know, give them more credit than that, but I don't know. It's tough to say. But that is basically the situation, and that looks like how it's going to stay. But besides what I just said a bit ago, FIA might do more. And I don't see the need really for more. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's fine. Let's move on. They're going to really upset some people if they do something, you know, really rash more. I don't think it's that bad. Truly got his stuff. Everybody got their just desserts. Okay, move on. Which is what I'm going to do. Talking about the race now as we're moving backwards. Jenson Button getting a great win. Brawn GP, no false hype there at all. That's pretty good. I mean, that I was iffy on that. But it turned out really, I mean, during any point in that race, I don't think any of us thought anybody else was going to win. Jenson Button all the way. Maybe Sebastian Vettel for a time, but he really just wasn't showing that he was going to win and really overtake Button at any point, catch him to even try to overtake. And it was a shame to see, Sebastian Vettel and Robert Kubica. Vettel very quickly accepted blame for that. I think it was obvious he immediately regretted that. Perhaps like McLaren, he could have done, if he had just not done something, he would have had points and would have been on the podium and he would have done well. You know, people just need to not do these things to get these little positions that they might get if they do the things, if that makes sense. Kubica was obviously faster. When you were watching that and you saw on the Kubica driver cam, onboard cam, that little wiggle that Vettel had, you knew it. The commentators here in the U.S. knew it. Everybody could see. He was faster. That little wiggle, yeah, Vettel's done. Kubica's going to pass him. He's going to stay in front of him. It's not much of a race after this happens. Vettel pushed the issue, or maybe you can say Kubica pushed the issue. I'm just going to be noncommittal and not go either way and be boring about it. It spiced it up, that's for sure. I mean, would Kubica have caught Button if there was not a safety car? Or that hadn't have happened. I don't know. I think Button was out there. I think it was Jenson Button's race to win or to lose, whatever the term is. He was going to win the race no matter what. Let's say that. I don't know. Vettel, very impressive. No doubt about that. It's unfortunate. He got penalized grid positions for Malaysia. So it's going to affect him in Malaysia. So even if he's just as fast, not running that rear diffuser, keep in mind. He or Robert Kubica, I believe, neither of them running the big magical rear diffuser. So those guys are really strong, apparently, if that's the case. Enough about that incident. It was a dramatic thing to see. It was a wow, unbelievable moment at the end of the race. And you want to say it made it better? That's fine with me, if you want to say that. So good stuff. Good passes. Rubens Barrichello, I forget, was he passing Nico Rosberg at the time, I want to say, near the end of the race. Great move on the outside going into a corner. Great pass. I love that one. And just a bunch of little gems in that race that could be picked out of every race probably. But I enjoyed it. It was good to see F1 back. People on Facebook talking about, you know, snowplow on the car, what was going to happen in the opening lap, not really liking the new design, but I think watching that race, I wasn't thinking about, you know, every second, every time they took a turn, God, that car is ugly. So I'm not that bad off with how the car looks, or how the cars look. Highlights of the race would be Yano Trulli in the Toyota third, and Timo Glock in the other Toyota finishing fourth. So a great day for Toyota. Fernando Alonso finished fifth with the Renault, getting them some points. Nico Rosberg sixth. Toro Rosso scored some points, not a whole lot, but that's going to probably make a decent difference, as they always do. Sebastian Bremy in his debut finishing in 7th, getting 2 points, and Sebastian Bourdais getting 1 point, finishing 8th, so not bad for Toro Rosso. Force India saying we want to score points in 2009, came very close to doing it. They didn't do too bad for Force India, I guess, in Mercedes power. Adrian Sutil finished 9th, just a position away from getting a single point. Giancarlo Fisichella finished 11th. So on paper, they don't look too bad. I think they will score some points this year, if just one. They'll score something in the way of points, I believe. So, and they're in the Mercedes, good power. Mercedes won the race and finished 2nd as far as powerhouse. So not a bad thing to have. Ferrari, again, not doing well. Both, I think, in the end, doing very bad. Raikkonen finished 15th. Massa 16th, no points. Red Bull Racing, 0 points in the end. But as we all know, Vettel should have scored quite a bit of points. So we're not going to look at that. Braun GP saying that BMW and Red Bull, which I think when they say Red Bull, they're politely saying Sebastian Vettel. Maybe not so much Mark Webber. I think Vettel and the BMW of Kubica, very fast against them with these diffusers. And, of course, the guys with the diffusers did finish well. Barrichello had it, finished 2nd. Trulli had it, finished 3rd. Timo had it, finished 4th. Nico Rosberg had it in the Williams. He finished 6th and ran well all day. So the ray of sunshine, I suppose, would be Fernando Alonso finishing 5th. Lewis Hamilton was up there before this disqualifying. I guess you want to say that. Especially Vettel and Kubica, who were up there close enough contending for the win, and not having this rear diffuser, that's definitely a good competition, and that makes, you know, we don't need to start a religion about around this rear diffuser. And anyway, it's going to even out because, as we're hearing this week in the news, to kind of finish off all of this stuff, all of these teams, if the appeal, which I believe is on April 14th in Paris, if the FIA appealed, doesn't go through, I mean, if it's not allowed, if they say, you know, that doesn't matter, these rear diffusers are fair, we're not going to do anything, then Red Bull is set to make their own and just match it. And the same goes for BMW, Renault, McLaren, Ferrari. All these teams are set and planning on the worst to happen, which is this appeal to be denied, nothing happens. The catch is that some of these teams, you know, some of them could have them soon. I think, I think it was Renault could have it set up, the good Jesus rear diffuser, whatever you want to call it, that's magical, have it set up in a month or so. Some of these other teams have to wait a little longer. I think BMW said that they would have to spend a lot of money and it just would be unfair and they'd have to redo some things on the rear of the car. So just not a good situation. And for fairness or for maybe convenience for the majority of the teams, we want to see this, you know, overturned. No more of this magical rear diffuser. So that's the situation with the rear diffuser. Enough about the rear diffuser. So anyway, that's enough of F1. We're going to take a break, look at NASCAR and the rest of the stuff on the other side. First, on racehourradio.com, I want to give a good shout and mention to a new feature that we have there, which is Rylan Richard Racing. Say that several times fast. Rylan Richard Racing. We have his blog linked at the top right of racehourradio.com. He is an upstart kart driver, and he's looking to get into to Formula One through the feeder series at the very bottom, start his way up. Big fan of F1. He's a big fan of American Le Mans and all that stuff. He's not on the NASCAR side. He's on this the big world stage side, as far as F1 and all this stuff, Le Mans, and he's having a lot of success. That's the catch to it. It's not a fluke. It's not just some other young starting racing, you know, racer. He is the champion in the things that he's raising. He is moving up respectively, and that is definitely somebody you want to keep an eye on. Check out his blog. On his blog, he talks about his own racing, which we are personally interested in. We're following. And he's also talking about F1 and all of this stuff that he likes, and is going to give you his thoughts on it and recaps on his blog. So that's linked at racehourradio.com. We'll get features on him, keep updated on him on the show here as well, and maybe have him on the show sometime soon, hopefully. So a cool little feature. I think it's very interesting. He's a friend of the show. Talk to him on Facebook a lot, and I'm going to give a shout to him on that. So check it out. NASCAR, American Le Mans, IndyCar, and F1 prep coming up on Race Hour as we continue.
This is Race Hour Live, covering NASCAR,
the Rolex Sports Car Series,
National Touring,
and the Daytona 500.
Seems hopeless. I know they left you all alone when there was no one there to guide you. Now your heart's been turned to stone. You say nothing lasts.
The Race Hour Watch List.
Taking a look at the Race Hour Watch List, Braun GP remains at the top of important things to watch in auto racing, having won and finished second at the Australian Grand Prix. Very obvious. We're going to continue to watch how they do at Malaysia. Can they continue to dominate? And will they begin to fall off at any point during the season? Sebastian Vettel stays in second on the watch list. despite having the accident, despite not finishing well, getting a good finishing position that he deserved in Australia, he was still very fast the entire race. Strong qualifier, strong racer right to the very end, pretty much. He'll stay on the things to watch list because he's a thing to watch. He's going to not have a problem. He's going to win a Grand Prix this season. Brian Vickers is off of the list. He was third going into this week's past weekend's events. He'll be off. He finished 33rd in Martinsville, boring, and dropped six positions in the points to 20th. He's losing that sort of interesting, you know, I'm a top five guy or top 10 guy every week sort of flair. We're not going to watch him pretty much anymore. AJ Allmendinger, however, remains on the list, bumps up to third on the watch list. He finished 9th in Martinsville. Excellent for him. Moved up one spot in the points to 15th. Continues to show up to make the races. He's locked in safely, very safely. And it looks like he should get that by all fairness. And so far, he's making the races, has sponsors. Looking good for AJ Allmendinger. And you're in a better car. I know I say that, but you know. Juan Montoya is after that. He'll stay on the list because he recovered, finished 12th at Martinsville, moved up one spot to 14th in the points. So Montoya continuing to have a good streak of consistency. Joey Logano remains on the list. He finished 32nd in Martinsville, and he's still, believe it or not, not safe in the points. He's 34th in owner's points. I did the math. 26 points out of 36. He's 26 points away from having the qualifier on time the following week. So Joey Logano still in a very close position, not getting better, finishing 32nd in Martinsville. He's not a miracle worker. He's not amazing right out of the box as perhaps maybe we expected or had hoped. So not that great for Joey Logano. He's going to stay on the watch list basically because we want to see if he can recover or if he's going to fail. For racing news now, check out FreshRubber.com. FreshRubber.com has news on NASCAR, F1, American Le Mans, IndyCar, any kind of racing division you would hope for. FreshRubber.com has the news wired in. Check out RaceHour at Twitter.com/RaceHour, MySpace.com/RaceHour, and Facebook. Search RaceHour. We have all of our stuff all over, all of this social networking. And you can also check out RaceHourRadio.com for some of the latest stuff as well. NASCAR, American Le Mans, IndyCar, and setting up the Malaysian Grand Prix coming up on RaceHour.
Racing Talk Radio.
It's late in the evening, you're wearing a sigh. I don't want you to go, I just want you to try. And open your heart and open your mind and look down that mountain to see how far we've climbed. Well, I need your love again, though I never had it before. And I need a chance this time, just to be sure. Say I love you, I think I forget. Well, I need your love again, though I never had it before. And I need a chance this time, just to be sure. So for 10 lonely years, I still want to see you and wish you were here. Are you a lover or are you a friend? Or are you just a thought that I had way back then? Well, I need your love again, though I never had it before. And I need a chance this time, just to be sure.
Bringing madness to your weekend. Race Hour Live, your home for the best auto racing talk on the radio.
Continue on the show talking about NASCAR. Martinsville, very straightforward short track racing as far as the end. I think that's what we want to see when we think of that. Martinsville, pretty good for that because of the banking, I think. I think Bristol, it gets fairly hectic, and when they get that close, somebody is going around unless they're very good or get lucky. Martinsville, kind of flat. They do have to slow down because of how flat it is in the corner. They can kind of work with it, and it's kind of maybe it's Bristol in slow motion, I guess, as far as short tracking goes. Straightforward, though, as far as it happened. I mean, Denny Hamlin made a ballsy move on Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson made a maybe ballsy move back, and Jimmy Johnson's were bigger, and it stuck. Hamlin wasn't able to catch him. Johnson was faster. I mean, Johnson was catching Denny Hamlin after Hamlin passed him. So, fair enough. I think Jimmy Johnson well-deserved the win. So, besides Jimmy Johnson winning, Denny Hamlin second, you had... good finishes for Stewart Haas. Tony Stewart talked about that.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our guys. You know, obviously, wasn't the caliber of Denny and Jimmy and Jeff today, but we were close. You know, our teammate had a good day. You know, finishing sixth, so really proud of our day. You know, we're inching up closer. We're not quite where we want to be yet, but you know, 6 weeks into it, I'm pretty proud of where we're at. I mean, I felt like we had a awesome day as an organization today. Was proud of our guys. They, you know, had good pit stops all day. I think we only had one pit stop that we were off a little bit, and we were able to get that track position back, and they really fired off a stop at the end that I think got us out fourth or fifth or something.
Also, some surprise finishes or notable ones. A.J. Allmendinger in ninth. Michael Waltrip finished in 13th. Mon Montoya finished 12th. Kind of notable in there. Marcus Ambrose continued a good streak out of Bristol, finishing 14th. And on a low note, Scott Speed finished 39th. Scott Speed, I think, dropped a spot in the points also, owner's points and all that. So I bring that up because Scott Speed worries me as far as, you know, will he ever be cut material? Does he need to go back? Because it seemed like he was doing so well in the trucks. He won a truck race. He was doing well in ARCA. So I had in my head at the beginning of the year and last year when we know that he's coming in the 82 that, you know, he's going to do well. And I felt optimistic about him at the beginning of the year. Now I'm a little disappointed. I feel like, you know, like Dario Franchitti coming in last year. I think if he had stayed, he would have done fine. I think Franchitti was making great progress, especially in the Nationwide Series, which was pretty much the only place he was able to race. He was a top 11 guy at times, top 15. He was doing very well. And that gave me, you know, made me think, this guy can cut this. Stock cars, NASCAR, Sprint Cup, whatever. Scott Speed, I'm thinking... all this time, he could cut it. He was doing well there. But maybe Scott Speed translating the stock cars is only as good as the guys in the ARCA or truck series. So we'll see. I'll keep an open mind to Scott Speed yet. I give people from F1 or who have ever been in F1 a lot of credit. So I don't know, but I'm just bringing that up. He's out of the points. He's questionable as it is, and finishing places like 39th, not going to get you back up in the points when here early, they better, you know, hurry to do something, or they're going to be doing just like they did last year, that second Red Bull car, yet again, different people, same scenario, put somebody else in the car, take him out, do something, and be scrambling and try to pull it off. I don't think they can pull it off again. I don't think Red Bull can do what they did last year and get the second car in. All that work, and Scott Speed can't keep that up. Gotta, you know, kind of feel bad for them in that position, but... I don't know. And also, to put my foot in my mouth, I guess, I don't know, you know, last week I'm ranting pretty much about, you know, Paul Menard and the 98. Outside of the top 35, wasting pretty much what Travis Cavapo got. They fire Cavapo out of the 28, was the point of it. Look what happens this week. After Martinsville, Paul Menard, who made it in the race, of course it was a rain thing, because of that he made it in the race, and finished well enough to put himself in the top 35. Now, not by much, but he's in the top 35. He's guaranteed for Texas. The 98 Paul Menard is in 35th in bonus points. So I ran about that. He goes, and even though he doesn't have to worry because it rains out and it doesn't matter that he's not locked in, he's now locked in. So maybe he'll drop back out. I think he will. I hope he does because it makes me look better, I guess. But in the meantime, oh well. I still don't agree with what they did, but I just want to say that. Yes, he did get into the top 35. But no, he's not safe. Joey Logano, just above him. And Menard's less than 26 points out of 36th. So it's no big gap by any means. Who'd he knock out? The TRG, David Gilliland. The other guy that I kind of rag on at times is now out in 36th. But still close. It's still possible for Gilliland to get in, but he's going to have to qualify on time in the TRG Toyota for Texas. And that's the only bit of change that we see between that barrier of 35th and below this week. So not a whole lot of change, but that is change enough. I mean, TRG is being talked about as sort of the you know, revolution, I guess, of the little teams. Pretty much the leader as far as that goes. So people talking about that, I guess. We're talking about it on here. Interesting thing that I saw that was kind of odd. I didn't realize David Gilliland had fans. Gilly people? I don't know what it is. Gilly something. David Gilliland's fans at davidgilliland.com raised money, had the logo on his car, raised money to sponsor his car for TRG. That is dedicated. I'll give him that. But again, I didn't realize he had fans that I guess would do that. I guess maybe it's a handful of fans and they put a lot of money up each, or he's got more fans than I thought and each of them put up a little bit. I don't know how this worked, but it happened. And it's an interesting little thing if you see it. Not a big deal, though, so I don't have a whole lot of research on it. So that's going on. Eric Almirola, we've talked about him. He could be gone at any moment. I think that's reasonable enough. He's not done that well. He's not shown a whole lot of promise. He must hate the merger. Eric Almirola must despise the Ganassi DEI merger. Before the merger, he apparently had a full-time deal going with DEI only in the 8. And I guess because of the merger, it looks like that was ruined. Somehow things were spread apart, and it's not going to work out. He's apparently got a sponsor deal for Texas, so he's going to try Texas, even though he's not locked in. Maybe he's hoping for rain himself. But he's got nothing for Phoenix. So anybody on Almirola watch, I know there are tons of you out there just on the edge of your seat waiting for Eric Almirola's news. He's out at Phoenix. Unless something amazing happens, somebody steps up, Eric Almirola will miss Phoenix and likely beyond. And I believe he has some scattered deals throughout, but nothing full. And he can kiss goodbye any kind of saving this top 35 deal, which he's out of right now, by the way, again. Doesn't look like he's going to get a chance to try to save that. So, unfortunate. Will he ever find a secure place? He's in the Cup family, I guess, in a part-time way, but I don't know. Nothing looking promising right now, so we'll see. That would be about all of the NASCAR news, NASCAR stuff to look at, actually. Slow news and good race, but no controversy like F1. Moving to IndyCar, which is going to be returning this weekend. Some new things. I don't have all of the new things. I put a video up at racehourradio.com show notes that'll get you all of the rookies that are coming in. And some setup for the race. I'm going to look at some big changes that are kind of established people. Maybe some of these are rookies. One of them, I believe, actually. So, I'm not going to go through all the rookies because most of them you probably don't know who they are. So I'm going to let you watch the video if you care. I'll locate that for you. Anyway, I'm sure you appreciate that. Yes. Anyway, important things to look at. IRL returns Sunday, St. Petersburg. In the U.S., it's on Versus, which I've been looking everywhere for 2 days I have DirecTV. I'm looking at DirecTV. I can't find any information on the channel. My package thing apparently is not on my package. I don't have the channel. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what anybody who's not blowing out for this, gold, crystal, diamond package status, whatever, on these satellite networks or cable, if you have that, however that works, have the Versus Network, then you're watching IRL. And if you're a big IRL fan, I'm sure that's going to get some subscription gains for these guys. But I don't think I have Versus, so I think I'm kind of screwed as far as this goes. Although I guess I'll search online. And I'm talking about this for sake of anybody who, like me, doesn't have Versus. I don't really care for that decision to go to a channel that's really high up on the subscription list as far as my stuff goes. I've watched the 24 Hours of Daytona. I've watched Le Mans online. Just you have to go on an adventure, pretty much. You have to go on an adventure and just search Watch TV Online or something. And I found Speed Channel. Good quality online streaming, pretty decent. I mean, as good as you can hope. Sometimes you'll find a guy set up his video camera. I found this on this recent 24 Hours race. Somebody set their video camera on their big screen, and they're taping it that way, live streaming. So you never know what you're going to find. I think Justin.tv is a place I usually find Speed Channel, but that's Speed Channel. But just giving some tips. I'm trying to help you out. I'm going to try to search this up and maybe try to catch it live online. And I don't know if any European markets or world international markets, then you have the whole language thing. You just get to watch it. So maybe you should just subscribe to Versus. Maybe I'm being unreasonable and I need to just ante up for something. I don't know. But that's my way out of some of these things. And I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who wants to not pay, because I really would rather not get that channel for just IRL. So there's that. Anyway, some of the driver changes. Of course, Dario Franchitti is back. He's in Ganassi. And I think that's cool to see. I'm going to watch it a lot of it to see Franchitti. I'm a big Franchitti fan. Of course, he displaces Dan Weldon. He'll be teammates with Scott Dixon at Ganassi. Dan Weldon is not gone, though. Dan Weldon, and we've known this for a long time now, will be at Panther Racing. As a new driver with them. Will Power, this is another thing. Helio Castroneves is out at Penske while he does his trial and deals with all that. Maybe he'll dance a little bit. So Will Power will be driving at Penske for Helio Castroneves. Hopefully forever. I hope Helio Castroneves goes to prison or something. Doesn't get to drive again. Something. I don't know. He'll be a personality somewhere, because we all know he's a personality. Stanton Barrett is new. He's driving for Team 3G, and he's on this little video I'm going to put up at racehourradio.com show notes. And Stanton Barrett, NASCAR people, we know who he is, having kind of a mediocre time in NASCAR, but looks like he's found a good home in the IndyCar series, at least for now. And Darren Manning will be racing with Dreyer and Reinbold Racing. And this is a very recent deal. I think just this week, Darren Manning and that team found some sponsorship and support. So that's quite an exciting thing for them, I'm sure. And a few last-minute things. There are quite a few rookies coming in. And again, I didn't bother to get the whole list for that to list off here. You can get to see their faces, actually, and kind of recognize them better on the video. So I'll put that on the site. Besides that, that's a little setup for the race. St. Petersburg, same place as American Le Mans. American Le Mans coming up this weekend. The entry list is kind of bland. You've got people like Jörg Bergmeister and Patrick Long driving for Flying Lizard in their respective class. You've got Marino Franchitti, but you don't have things like the Peugeot not there. Some of these guys, I think some maybe are in Barcelona. I don't know. So American Le Mans not going to see quite the list, maybe. No Sebastian Bourdais or any of that, as we saw at Sebring. But it is definitely solid American Le Mans racing. And I'm pretty much saying that to the crowd that are, like me, new to American Le Mans, or maybe don't know it at all. Anybody listening who's a hardcore American Le Mans fan, you're watching it, pretty much, I'm sure, everybody there. I have yet to adjust to that. So, anyway, I'm going to watch that for sure Saturday. That is Saturday. On ABC, a channel I can actually watch no matter what, pretty much. So I appreciate that. IndyCar going on Versus. You know, it was, I mean, thankfully the you know, maybe you're panicking if you haven't looked at this. I believe ABC still has the Indy 500 and a handful of races, so you don't have to, you know, do any drastic change on your TV or cable or whatever to. And I don't know if cable has it or not. Actually, I may be able to find somebody that has this. That may be what I do somewhere. I don't know. It just bothered me though, because I don't have anyway enough about the Versus. That's American Le Mans. I don't really have anything else to add for that. Weather for all of our races this weekend will be in Malaysia, starting with that. Sepang, Malaysia for F1, 60% of rain. They're talking about it. It's going to be dark, dreary, rainy. Should make it interesting. Scattered thunderstorms, high of 88. That's in Malaysia. In Texas, on Sunday, we're going to have 0% chance of rain, sunny, high of 67. So thankfully, we're going to have a good day for Sunday Sprint Cup racing. St. Petersburg, Florida, on Saturday for American Le Mans, you've got 10% chance of rain. It'll be partly cloudy, high of 83. On Sunday for the IRL debut, St. Petersburg, Florida, it'll be 30% chance of rain, isolated thunderstorms, and again, high of 83. So that's your weather for all of the racing this weekend. The F1 race should definitely be interesting with the bit of rain. So that's about all we have. I'm going to take a little setup of Malaysia in F1 and pretty much wrap up some of our show, our race setup for this weekend with Malaysia and the Sepang course.
The second Grand Prix of the season takes us to the tropics, to Malaysia. Hardly any other track looks as symmetric from above. Yet the Sepang International Circuit has a new challenge in store at practically every turn. Right after the start, you enter a sweeping right-hander, the approach into the Pangkor Lao Chicane. The exit is a downhill left-hand stretch where the front wheel often leaves the track. For the drivers, that means easing off. The circuit demands all-out top performance and full concentration. The odd breather, however, is possible on the straights. The setup, a tricky feat. Too much downforce costs speed, while too little costs grip. And yet, that's not all. If the grip's too strong, the tires suffer in the corners and on braking. Yet for overtaking, harsh maneuvers are essential. Another factor for the drivers, the relentless heat. A loss of around 3 liters of fluid tells a very clear story. That's more than a driver can replace during the race, and his body has simply got to cope. On the long straight after the Kenya Lake comes the first good overtaking opportunity, breaking down into the next S. Speed into the corner is just under 90 kilometers per hour, then back up to 210. Almost blind, the penultimate corner, Sunway Lagoon, with high G-forces. The circuit in Malaysia is one of the toughest challenges of the year for man and machine. Then a final corner in second gear, great acceleration under the pagoda roof, and the finishing line on the Sepang International Circuit's in sight. And here, in just the second race of the season, it'll become very clear who's the fittest driver in the field.
I'm going to end the show like last week, going into the F1 race for some F1 fantasy. I adjusted mine, and I kept Lewis Hamilton, believe it or not. I kept Rubens Barrichello and Nico Rosberg. I took out Fernando Alonso, put in Sebastian Vettel, which felt like I feel pretty good about that. I kept my manufacturers as well. I believe I have Braun GP and McLaren. McLaren didn't do me so well. Braun GP did a little better. So all I changed pretty much out of last week is adding Sebastian Vettel. I would suggest that if you have your fantasy, and I think that's cut and dry. And finally, I wrote down a little list here, like a top five list, pretty much. If you think I'm worth anything, my suggestions, through being just having common sense. I'm not a complete idiot, so I think I could kind of look at this. But just to point something out to not, and I don't think anybody's doing that so much, but really because it's something I would do, is look at the results or look at the points and then go into the next race saying, look at that, he finished high on the results. That's something I would do, really. I've done it before in NASCAR, not thinking about, you know, thinking, oh, look, he's really good. And then I think, wait a minute, this happened and this happened. My list of suggestions for fantasy picks, based on Australia, based on how people maybe have grasped this new formula. Jenson Button, of course, number one. He dominated without question. So Button's on top. Sebastian Vettel is second because Barrichello didn't do that great, even though he did fairly. He started off bad, and that could have set the bad tone for the race. But he still wasn't doing that great. He didn't have super speed, and he wasn't necessarily barreling up the second to support Button. So I put Vettel as second, and Kubica as third. Because I guess overall I feel Vettel is a little faster than Kubica. I don't know. Barrichello I have in fourth, and Nico Rosberg I have in fifth. Even though Rosberg kind of fell off at the end, I still feel like Rosberg maybe has a little more than the Toyotas. So, and of course, not all these guys have the rear diffuser. Because Kaz Nakajima, of course, he had his big accident there. Had the rear diffuser. And I can't remember how he was doing before that accident. I really can't. So, I don't know. But people like Rosberg definitely seem to be, and Toyota, obviously. Timo Glock and Jarno Trulli. Really, you think they would have done any of that without that rear without that rear diffuser? I don't know. But anyway, and throw Toyota on there, I suppose. I'm thinking about that accident. You know, all these people, even Lewis Hamilton, wouldn't have had the big finish. So realistically, we've got to kind of take those results and standings right now and kind of pencil in Vettel and Kubica, to be actually fair and to actually look at it as the guys who are really doing well. So anyway, send in your fantasy suggestions, picks, how you're doing on the Facebook overall thing for everybody on Facebook, several thousands of people. I think we're around 5,000. Which I believe we're about in the middle, halfway, so I feel not too bad about that, but nothing to get excited about. So let us know what you think about any of this stuff at twitter.com/racehour. Just follow. I've got the little iPod Touch thing, and I check that throughout the day, and we'll tweet and talk to anybody. And we've also got the Facebook, all the Facebook stuff, myspace.com/racehour, all this stuff to talk to us and talk to me, and I'll talk to you, and we'll just all talk together. So this week's show, we'll talk about things. I'll try to get a show out on Monday, actually, after the NASCAR race, after all the big racing of the weekend, and we'll see what happens. There will not be a show on Thursday or Friday or any of that next week. Easter weekend, I'm not going to be in. So we're going to get a show for that week on Monday, fresh after all this racing. And because it's out Monday, and I'll probably do, like I've done before, a lot more Monday shows, because for all of our podcast people, which is the majority of the audience, honestly, can put the thing on the iPod on Monday and have the rest of the week to whether the weather's nice, you're outside biking or jogging or inside doing something or trapped somewhere, doing whatever you do in the city, riding a train or whatever you people do, listen to the show while you're doing your busy stuff that week. So hopefully that's logical. I don't know. I feel good about that decision. So thanks for listening this week. Thanks for listening every week. This has been Race Hour. I'm Frank Gordon.
This is absolutely fascinating.
Visit JamesMadisonShow.com for show notes and visuals. Check out the Race Hour blog and leave instant feedback in the show's chat box.
Add Race Hour to your network at myspace.com/racehour.